Today's Feast of the Epiphany is one of the most iconic scenes from the Christmas season as the Magi, the great kings from the East, journeyed a long and dangerous journey to give their gifts before the King of Kings, the newborn child, gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. One of the questions I want to reflect upon today is, what was the goal of their journey? You know, why did the Magi undertake this long and dangerous journey? It wasn't to see the Christ child. And they didn't come on this journey in order to ask him for anything. You know, they didn't ask for the healing of a relative or anything like that. The one reason that they went on this journey was, as we hear in the gospel, to do homage to the Christ child. They went on this long and dangerous journey so that they could worship before him. That's the symbolism of one of the three gifts that they gave, which was the gift of frankincense. That's the same incense that we're using at the Mass this morning, which is fitting for the Feast of Epiphany. But incense was used in the worship and adoration of God. The smoke rises up like our prayers. And it even says in the book of Revelation that before the throne of God in heaven, there was incense rising up, and the incense was the prayers of the saints. I think our modern culture is so entertainment driven and so focused on ourselves and our own gratification. And I think in our modern culture, we've lost the sense of the importance of worship. That it is important to bow down before God and to give him glory and honor. When I would teach high school, One of the things the kids would often say about Mass is, how come it can't be more entertaining? You know, why can't it be more fun? Like, why can't we bring in video games and have projectors and watch movies and eat pizza or things like that? Well, that might be more fun, but it's not the worship of God. And that's what we're here at church to do. And our experience at church should be something that's powerful, and it should be something that's life-changing, because we're worshiping and adoring God on a deep and profound level and giving ourselves over to the God who's transcendent and majestic and beyond our understanding. It should be an action that moves us beyond ourselves, not something like entertainment that focuses us more on ourselves. The Mass itself is the perfect act of worship because it is the action of Jesus Christ offering himself to our Father in heaven. And it's the perfect sacrifice because Jesus Christ is without sin. And his intention was perfect when he gave his life on Calvary. It was his total self-offering in complete and total love and trust of the Heavenly Father. And so the Mass is not a human action, it is a divine action. And it is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ offering himself to the Father. And so it's an action greater and more powerful than anything we could ever do, because it's a divine action. And so when we come to Mass, we're joining ourselves to the perfect act of worship of Jesus Christ. The Mass can also train us and lead us into deeper and more perfect worship. And that's one of the reasons why I love being Catholic and part of the Catholic Church, is because our Mass is proper worship. You know, a lot of churches, you know, have worship that's more centered on human beings, on entertainment or instant gratification. But the Catholic Mass is so well designed in order to lead us and form us in proper worship of and adoration of God, preparing us for what heaven is. And so I want to look at just a few parts from the center of the Mass and talk a little bit about how they lead us into proper worship. And I'll start with the offertory. And the offertory is not just about a collection. It's not just about paying the bills of church. It is a self-offering where we give a portion of our labor, the fruits of our labor, to God. Meaning we are working for God and not for ourselves. And it's not only about a financial offering, but we should be offering the sacrifices that we've made throughout the week. You know, the sacrifices we've made for our families, the times where we've gotten up early to go to work, you know, to provide for our families, the responsibilities of daily life. You know, those are all offerings we should present to the Lord. And the prayers that we've offered, the times that we've forgiven people or done acts of mercy or of charity towards others, to offer all those up as an offering to God. And most importantly, to offer up our hearts, to offer up our love to God, to make that our offering. You know, the Magi, on their journey, they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they offered their love and their worship to our Lord. Anytime we come to worship, there should always be an offering. And that should be a self-offering. And it should be especially at the time of the offering at Mass where we call that to mind. And if we move forward to the preface dialogue, the priest says, "The Lord be with you." And the people respond, "And with your spirit." Why do we do that? Well, the priest, when he says, "The Lord be with you," he's praying for the people. And because a priest is ordained and sacramentally configured to Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is the anointed one, the one who's anointed by the Holy Spirit. And so when the priest says, and this is a line that should only be said by ordained clergy, "The Lord be with you," what he's doing is he's interceding so that the gift of the Holy Spirit might be imparted upon the people, so that they might enter into the act of worship in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the people respond, "And with your spirit," interceding for the priest. That as the priest, you know, you're praying that the priestly spirit that he's received at ordination, that he might offer a pure and a holy sacrifice to our Heavenly Father. And so that dialogue is a prayer of the priest for the people and the people for the priest as they prepare for the act of worship. And then the priest says, "Lift up your hearts." And we say, "We lift them up to the Lord." If we look at the Magi, it says when the star appeared over the house where the child was with his mother, that they were overjoyed because they were about to see the object of their heart's desire, the one that they had journeyed for. They were about to see the newborn child, and they knew it. And so their hearts were filled with joy. And at that point in Mass, we're waiting for the consecration when Jesus Christ is going to be made present on the altar. And so our hearts should be lifted up and filled with joy as we enter into the act of worship and prepare to behold Jesus Christ and to look upon him veiled behind the bread and wine. The next part we say, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and just." You know, that is an offering of thanksgiving, which the very word, the Eucharist, means thanksgiving in Greek. And so we are thanking God for his goodness to us. You know, this Christmas, we thank him for the gift of his son. We thank him that he's adopted us and made us members of his family. You know, there's so much for us to give thanks and gratitude for. And so that's to call to mind that our offering should be an offering of thanksgiving. We then sing the Holy, 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 which actually comes from Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah sees a vision of heaven and he sees the angels around the throne of God and they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy." And so we use that same hymn so that we join to the angelic hymn of praise that right now is reverberating through the halls of heaven as the angels are singing with the saints glory and adoration to God. And so we join our hymn of praise to the angelic hymn. And then we kneel down. And it says that the Magi prostrated themselves. That meant they laid down on the ground as a sign of their total humility and submission before the King of Kings. And so we kneel as a sign of our submission, our humility before Jesus Christ. And so as we celebrate the Epiphany, I encourage us to follow the example of the Magi, recognizing the importance of the worship and adoration of God and joining ourselves and following their example of worship. That is, as the Magi brought gifts and laid them before Jesus Christ, that we would have a self-offering. And that as the Magi's hearts were lifted up as they prepared to behold Jesus Christ, our hearts might be filled with joy. And that as the Magi prostrated themselves before our Lord, we might kneel down and prostrate ourselves before the King of Kings.